we're unbelievably blessed to live in a time on the kingdom calendar where we can access his word at any time. We also happen to live on a place on the planet where we can access his word all the time. So in much the same way that Paul's describing others who have never heard about God as being without excuse, as are we without excuse, because there's a Bible in every hotel room, in your local bookstore, there's a Bible at your library. You have no excuse to not go figure out the truth. Even if you don't have a pastor or any Christian friends, you have access. Google. You don't even have to leave your house. It's in your pocket on your phone. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Amy and Karen, and we're looking at Romans 1, verses 18 to 25, where Paul talks about how we exchange the truth about God for a lie. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture. So visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the word exchanged to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and learning from each other. I hope you'll find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. I want to do just the first two of the next section, which is some of the lies we exchange about God for the truth. Actually, why don't you pick one, Amy, and you pick one, Karen, because I think you might pick the one from Genesis 3, Karen.
That was the one I was going to pick.
Oh, okay. Well, you can both pick what, there's two from Genesis 3, so you guys can do that. So let's take, I guess I'll have to say, because as a teacher, I'll have to pick 2 John 9, which says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So I would say the lie that we can exchange there for the truth about God is false teaching, any false teaching. And that's a big, broad statement, but it's worth a quick note. Why don't each of you pick another one?
So I'm going to pick Genesis 3:4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. And the lie that we can exchange there is that they're taking God's word and twisting it to make it
suit them.
Suit them, yeah.
Good.
For the benefit of evil.
Yeah. Okay, how about you, Karen?
I think I'm going to go with Ezekiel 18:23. So here's a prophet, he's saying, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord God, rather than that he should turn away from his malevolent acts, sorry, it's an SAT word, and live. So the Message version would say something like, do I take any, the Lord says, do I take pleasure in watching evil people die? But don't I more want them to turn away or repent from those evil acts and live?
Mm-hmm.
So the truth about God and who he is that the Lord really wants everyone to be brought to a righteous, holy, and pure state.
Yeah, amen. Relationship with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's more in the homework. You can look at some of the lies in the Bible that God warns us against. What are some ways that we've seen this in our own lives? And what are some ways you see the culture exchanging the truth about God for a lie? I don't want to spend a lot of time on the culture because I think we should be introspective, not finger pointing. But in order to understand how to exist in this culture, we can't overlook it completely. So let's start with self. How are you apt to believe a lie? We talked about that. I'm apt to think I have the answers. I'm apt to think he's not going to keep his promises. I fall in many ways believing lies.
Well, one note I made reflecting on this is that the truth of God is that his love is not like mine. And so when I reflect and I think like, I really, love my kids or my husband or, this, that, my love is perfect. No, No, actually, it's not. And so, you know, when I think I understand God's love, you know, I have to kind of chuckle and laugh at myself. And I'm like, you know, Karen, his love is not like yours.
Yeah.
You share in that attribute of God, using a theological word there. But, you know, we share, he shows us love, but we truly don't have the breadth of his love. Yeah. So when we say God's love, honestly, do we really know what we're talking about? We really mm-hmm. don't.
We get glimpses, and we know they're only glimpses, and it forces us to see how much bigger it is than we can understand. That's good. What about the culture? I'll give it 30 seconds. I don't want to spend, you know, because I'm not going to lie. I think we spend too much time pointing fingers outward.
So it's interesting to me. I was just watching something the other day, and Hollywood is very much into taking God's word in shows and in anything where somebody, you know, might say, well, this is God's word. And then, you know, the lawyer throws it back. Well, this is also God's word. You shouldn't be wearing, you know, clothes that have cotton and polyester, and you shouldn't be doing this. And so it's interesting how our culture today takes God's word, you know, if they just read it at face value instead of, you know, getting the guidance from, you know, from God to understand these words, and just throws it out there. So it's a lot like the serpent, just changing the words to make it suit, you know, what their agenda, whatever they want to get across.
But we've admitted we do that ourselves too.
Oh, so we
it's,
do.
It's,
oh.
it's, yes, it happens in the culture, but
yeah.
I just don't think it's ever appropriate for us to point outward with that. Like, as soon as I start pointing away from myself and say, you're doing this, you're doing that, I'm prideful, because implicitly I believe I'm doing better. And I know I'm not. Okay, so do you have anything you want to say about the culture, Karen?
One funny note I made in my journal was that, you know, a verse we reflected on, that his faithfulness is for 1,000 generations, right? And then we just love tearing people apart in the news when they are not faithful to their word. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes me laugh, because of course they're not. They're human.
Yeah.
Just Flash. Like we're not. Like, hello.
Yeah.
You know, so again, the truth of God is that he is faithful, and that we actually want to extol people and put them on the throne and say, you have to be absolutely pure, true, truthful, and righteous. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. oh my gosh, we're the biggest hypocrites around.
Yeah. No one's perfect.
Nope. Mm-mm.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let's not miss a practical application that might seem simplistic to us, but it's important for us to not skip over it. If there's a notion, a thought, an idea that comes into your own mind, or that comes to you from the culture, how do you discern the truth?
I think it's important first to acknowledge whatever that thought is that you have. Don't wish it away or think it's, you know, a random thought, because again, your thoughts will eventually lead to everything else, what you believe, what your behavior. So if you've got something that's stirring in you, acknowledge it. You might not be able to work it out right then, start there, and then let it sit and lift it up and let the Lord direct you. Because again, he will order our steps. So he might use people that will speak into your life about it. He might make you curious, and you might ask someone. You might go searching in his word. You might hear something on a broadcast like this. You might have a trusted pastor or leader of your church or elder you could go talk to. But I think it's important to first acknowledge that you sense mm-hmm. something off,
mm-hmm.
because then at least you have a chance mm-hmm. of working it through.
And here again, Jeremiah 33:3 says, this is God speaking, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The first, he's not hiding from us. He has revealed himself to us. We're talking about that all throughout. We're unbelievably blessed to live in a time on the kingdom calendar where we can access his word at any time. We also happen to live on a place on the planet where we can access his word all the time. So in much the same way that Paul's describing others who have never heard about God
as being without excuse, as are we without excuse, because there's a Bible in every hotel room. I don't know if they're still doing that. In hotel room, in the top drawer, there's a Bible in your local bookstore. There's a Bible at your library. You have no excuse to not go figure out the truth. Even if you don't have a pastor or any Christian friends, you have access. Google. You don't even have to leave your house. It's in your pocket on your phone. Mm-hmm. BibleHub.com, BibleGateway.com. You can access the truth anywhere. We live in a generation where we are without excuse when it comes to understanding God's word, even if nobody exists in our life who could give us that wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Even just by lifting it up to God like you did, you know, when you were driving, you were listening to a Christian radio station, and he revealed it through a sign. So even, you know, God can withstand our wagging our finger at him. He can take it.
Yeah.
And he's going to show it to you.
Gently correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we see the result of the transaction, exchanging the truth for a lie. Paul tells us in the second half of verse 25. I have in the beginning of our homework, the big section, 18 to 25, I use the ESV translation, but I wanted to put a finer point on the second half of verse 25. And so I switched over to the NIV translation, and I wanted to say that I liked what NIV did because I think it makes it clearer to my simple mind, which it says, worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. So let's just quickly reiterate some created things that we find ourselves wrongly worshiping. I'm going to say that Karen's first one will be self. That is a created thing we find ourselves worshiping. Mm. Let's start with things, but move to ideas. All inventions, creations, and suppositions of man are still created things. So what are some other ways we can trip up worshiping created things?
Money.
Yep.
Money is a huge one.
Yeah. Now, do we put money on an altar in our house and bow down to it and pray to it? No. So let's reiterate what worship really is. What is worship?
Worship is putting something or someone or an idea or a thought and giving it priority, honor, and trust.
Exalting. Worship is exalting something, putting it up high. Mm-hmm. What else can we worship?
We can worship science. We can worship medicine.
Intelligence.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can worship. We can worship everything because we're made to worship.
Yes,
I mean, let's
Karen.
Let's just start there. Like, that's the difference between us and the animal kingdom. We worship.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
I do love to listen to the pastors. What he was saying was, we were made to worship, and we often get it wrong. But it was such a sticky phrase that he said something like worship dysfunction. It was worship dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Because we in our culture understand what dysfunction is. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is.
Sadly.
This is a dysfunction, mm-hmm. yes. dysfunctional interpretation, a pathology of worship. This is a broken, diseased worship.
Yeah.
And we are made to worship. So we're going to worship something. And when we're not worshiping God, it's dysfunctional, yeah. dysfunctional worship. I thought that was such a sticky expression.
Yeah.
So what's the biblical precept that ties together this passage we've been marinating in? Romans 1, 18 to 25. If you could sum up the biblical precept, what is it and why is it so important? What is the idea from God,
right.
the biblical precept? Okay.
Truth or, yeah. For me personally, I think the timeless truth of this passage is that people are people. Meaning that we unfortunately do have futile thinking and darkened hearts. Like, that's just who we are, and we are not God. And that we forget who God is. We forget the glory of God. And
or we reject it.
Or we reject it, or we rebel, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that we're without excuse of this. Mm. Everybody.
Mm.
And because we are that, and because God is who he is, and he is pure and holy and perfect. He let us be apart from him because we have to be apart from him. We don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
The two pieces don't fit, mm-hmm. if you will, in terms of a righteousness loving perspective. But it doesn't mean that obviously he provided a way to make it fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So what do you think, Amy?
So basically my takeaway, so to speak, of this section is that God is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. And we are human, and we can destroy anything and everything. And so my takeaway is that we need to honor him, and we need to give thanks to him because he is who he says he is.
Mm-hmm. I had some ideas in my head about what I think that precept is and why it's so important, but actually you hit a note a few minutes ago, Karen, that I think really sums up this section, which is we were made to worship. We are mm-hmm. worshipful creatures. Mm-hmm. And unless we observe and embrace the truth about who God is, we will worship wrongly.
Mm.
And the only way to worship rightly is to open our eyes wide and open our arms wide and open our brains wide to accept as much as we can of who he is. And the organic response will be right worship. Doing anything different will create futility and darkness and all the bad things that Paul describes in this section and then in the next section too, starting in verse 26. We will get it wrong. But the comfort, if I can lead to the sort of summing up of this particular study, the comfort is, to me, I'm not really responsible for all that rightness and righteousness. I'm not responsible to do it right all the time. This is just so simple. All I'm responsible for doing is gazing upon him mm-hmm. and not letting myself get in the way. Batting down myself instead of batting down who he is. That makes it a lot more palatable to me, makes it more digestible. I feel like, oh, if all he's really asking me to do is be still mm-hmm. and know that he is God, that seems achievable. When I take the whole counsel of the Bible and I start thinking that I'm responsible for all the changes that have to be made and all the behavior modification that has to be done, then I feel overwhelmed.
So overwhelming.
Ill-equipped.
Mm-hmm.
Stressed out.
You can't.
Inadequate. Mm-hmm. Unworthy. And then I get myself to spin down into that hole.
Mm-hmm.
But what Paul's saying here is we are without excuse. He is all around us. He has revealed himself to us, and all we have to do is just tamp down our own self and respond in the way that is normal and natural for us to respond to who he is. It's not difficult. It doesn't have to be complicated. He is who he is. Take it in and respond.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you want to say to sum up?
I think that was beautiful.
I think that covered it.
Yeah, I think that's the... That's what you're going to get to here, is you're going to get to a state of worship, and you're going to realize, thank you, Lord, for not leaving this up to me. Because mm-hmm. if it was up to me, I would mess it up. I can tell you that right now.
And listen, we are results-based people. So let's say again, the result of worship is peace. Who doesn't want peace? But we try to grasp for peace mm-hmm. of our own strength, white-knuckled. The result of worship is peace. Perfect love casts out fear. Experiencing who God is in my soul, the normal, I don't have to strive to respond with peace. Peace is the result. Peace is the result that mm-hmm. God brings about. I don't bring that result about. God brings that result about. He says, I am who I promised you I would be. Trust. Be still. I will fight your battles. This will work out for your good and for my glory. Trust the process. Trust who I am. I am who I am. Not lying to you, Holly. I am who I say I am. I will do what I say I will do. Will it take twists and turns that you don't expect? Yes, because as I tell you in Isaiah, Holly, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts, but I will get us there. I will get you there in your life. I will get your children there in their lives. And I will get the entire creation there in the kingdom calendar. I have a plan. Just trust it. I am who I say I am. I'm not going to disappoint. I'm perfect. I will get it there. One of the things when we studied Revelation that I was so in awe of, it's so silly, is his perfection. There's so much reflection in Revelation of Genesis. I was blown away. Another one of those worshipful moments where I really understood who he is and what he's doing across the span of all time, you know, and he's going to bring it to a perfect conclusion. And I remember thinking the dull thought, it's like he's perfect. He planned it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, of course he planned it perfectly. Mm-hmm. He's perfect. He couldn't mm-hmm. plan it any other way. Mm-hmm. In my own mind, I think I could not have planned something perfectly. My plans will always fail. Mm-hmm. His plans will never fail. Mm-hmm. So the result of our worship, the result of our right seeing of God is to our own peaceful benefit. Our own lives grow and change for the good when we can worship him right. It starts with worship. It starts with worship. And all the dominoes fall behind that. Mm-hmm. And the good things that we want, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the good things that we want, they fall behind worship. Knowing who he is and letting him do his thing in our lives. Mm. All right, let's pray. Mm. Oh, Lord Jesus, you have given us more than we can fathom. You are bigger, Lord God, than we can understand. You are so merciful to give us a glimpse of who you are and to give us even the capacity to understand you on any level and respond with worship. Lord, help us to do that, not just in the big moments, but in the everyday moments. God, help us to be worshipful creatures who are rightly worshiping you. Lord, I ask in this moment that you would convict us in this day and every day when we've gone to the left or the right with our worshipful minds and hearts. Don't let us fall off the path. Keep us on the straight and narrow way, Lord. We invite your convicting Holy Spirit into our hearts in a bigger and deeper way today, Lord, because we want the result that you promised to us. We want you, God, more of you, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, girls.
Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's Word helps me know Him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Please make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending his disciples out to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study with Friends also, so we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free for you to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.